ready?
Yeah.
All right, I am calling the meeting of the Sussex Academy Executive Board, May 15th, to order. It is 4:04. May we have a roll call, please? Jen Scott, Board President.
Martin Cosgrove, Vice President.
Susan Mitchell, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director.
Steve Burke, Treasurer.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Andrea Rogers, Secretary.
Heather Graham, Board Member.
Uday Jani, Board Member.
Freddie Silcott, Director.
Eric Anderson, Head of School.
Ryan Dayton, Parent.
Sarah Messina, Teacher.
Okay, good. Minutes? Anyone had a chance to read them?
Yes. Motion to approve.
Any changes? Any? No?
Second.
Okay, Steve made a motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes from April 17, 2019, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Did you announce yourself, Mr. Dayton?
I did.
Okay, sorry. It's been a day.
He's part of the roll call.
Public comments? Do you have any public comments?
Okay.
Sarah, any public comments?
Okay.
Moving on, Executive Director report. You know.
All right, hello, everybody. I have a short report because we're meeting kind of early because of the way the Wednesdays fell this month, and we had spring break, so we had a whole week off. We're finishing up with our Smarter Balance testing. We're in the midst of IB, and we did our one AP test last week, and then we are doing social studies Pearson testing. And those are all underway. And hopefully most of it will be complete with the exclusion of makeup testing by the end of next week. On May 1st, we had our Destination Day celebration where all of our seniors declared and announced where they were going to go for college. Kudos to Debbie Fee. She put together a very nice ceremony, and it was well attended by parents as well.
I hope that you guys stick with that because that's really cool.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a really...
And actually, the state requires you right now to do something for it.
Huh.
So everybody's supposed to do something and then announce what you do for it.
It's
a really nice tradition. I really liked it. Our middle school had their science fair on May 2nd. Our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders participated in different projects in different areas. And the projects were judged. Just the kudos go to our middle school science teachers, Ms. Haresny, Ms. Majoli, and Ms. Norton. Staff Appreciation Week was held the week of April 6th, which was last week, and kudos to Betsy Kirshner and her PTO. They did a variety of things for our teachers. So on Monday, they started the morning off and the week off with bagels and coffee with assorted cream cheeses. And then they had a nacho bar for lunch on that Tuesday and a trail mix bar on that Wednesday.
Food, everyone's love language.
That's right.
Right?
It is. Thursday, we were supposed to have a chocolate fountain, but the fountain broke. So instead, they had hand-dipped chocolate fruits and a candy bar. And then Bethany Blues, we finished on Friday with a nice luncheon provided by Bethany Blues. And... we also, every day, at the end of every day, there was a raffle drawing, and they drew teachers' names or staff names, and they could win gift cards or school apparel. So it was very nice. Teachers felt very appreciated last week, as they do every week. On Friday, May 10th, Senator Carper came to visit. So that was a nice visit. He stayed for about an hour. And he got to say happy Teacher Appreciation Week to teachers. He addressed 8th graders and high schoolers in the cafeteria and spoke with some students. And then I took him on a tour of the school. And he got to actually see We have a partnership right now with the Delaware Institute for Arts and Education, and they've partnered up with Stephanie Sherman's class, which she's been awesome with coordinating all this, but it was infusing arts with science, and they've done it with an environmental approach, or environmental science approach and climate. And tomorrow, all of the work that they've done is going to culminate in a presentation that includes dances that they're going to do for the middle school students tomorrow.
You know what the best part of the Carper visit was? When he walked in, he asked me if I was the head of the student government. Yep, I'll take it, man. Best compliment I had.
That is cool.
He's got your vote.
Forever, for life.
But it was a nice visit, and there's some pictures and things from this visit on the Facebook page. Yesterday, I met with the outgoing Sports Boosters president, Craig Classic, and our incoming Sports Boosters president, Nikki Steele.
Oh, Nikki!
So I felt very good coming out of that meeting, and I feel that Sports Boosters for the next couple of years is going to be in good hands under her leadership. Obviously, Craig did a great job in getting the boosters to where they're at, and we wish him well as he moves on to the next chapter of his life. I have a feeling he'll be around to help for a little bit. He said he wasn't going anywhere, so he'll be around if we need help, which is very generous of him. Our eighth graders went to Cape Henley Open Park today to participate in the beach cleanup. I saw some of them at dismissal, and they were telling me that they really had a great time. And they were very surprised by the amount of plastic that they got, that they cleaned up during their time there. So not only was it an enjoyable experience, but an eye-opening and educational experience for them. We've posted some of the openings that we have. On the website, we closed our special ed opening. We've done interviews this week, so hopefully we'll identify some great candidates for the position. We also currently have a high school math position posted. Our school counselor and our dean for high school teaching and learning. And we did receive a resignation of an English teacher that's going to be going to Sussex Tech. So we will be, we've posted that job, and we'll be hiring a replacement there as well.
Who's that?
Not just that.
Oh, okay.
Middle school or high school?
High school. I could tell you in executive session.
That's fine.
Our student Allison Dayton was one of three finalists for the state school board position, the student position. She was the finalist for Sussex County, and she went up against a finalist from Newcastle County. They called us and to give us the results of a representative from the governor's office, and they couldn't say nicer things about Allie, and the competition was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was deep, big, good competition. There was a big competition. Ultimately, the student chosen was from Newcastle County and from the Charter School of Wilmington. So I think it's cool, though, to see that, you know, that two out of the three were charter school students. So that's pretty cool. So what's coming up? This is like a marathon, right? So what's coming up? We have a lot of things coming up in the next 2 weeks. We have our high school and middle school spring concerts next Wednesday and Tuesday, respectively. I believe they start at 6 p.m. Our eighth graders will be doing dance and etiquette lessons all next week. Our Alice in Wonderland student production, which is directed by Allie Dayton and Sydney Adamchik, will be taking place next week, Thursday and Friday evening, and they'll be doing the performance on Friday for the middle school. We're closed for Memorial Day holiday, which is May 24th and the 27th. We have our athletics awards ceremony when we come back that Tuesday on the 28th, high school academic award night, and it's our seniors' last day on the 29th. I'm having head of school breakfast for the seniors before graduation practice.
What day?
Thursday, the 30th. Graduation is on Friday, the 31st. And then high school exam week is the week of the June 3rd, and our students will have an early release for all students, grades 6 through 12. Our students' last day is on June 6th. We'll have eighth grade moving up ceremony June 7th, and our teacher's last day is June 13th.
What time is graduation?
6:30.
6:30?
Six.
Six?
Sorry.
And are we supposed, are board members supposed to be there early?
Yeah. So do you want to speak to that since you're here?
Yes.
We have a, Sarah is one of the teachers that coordinates graduation.
Graduation begins at 6 in the cafeteria. In past years, board members and other dignitaries have been able to go to my room, it's room 208. If you're not sure where that is, we'll have students here to escort you there, where you can kind of congregate before you line up to process. And it's typically all of the adults that go in together, and then we're followed by the senior class. There'll be refreshments in my room.
Can all the board members please email me and let me know if you will be attending graduation and if you will be attending the moving up, eighth grade moving up ceremony?
What's the date of the meeting?
What's the date?
June.
9. Whatever that Friday is.
I'm going to be out of the country.
I said I would cover.
Okay, did I already ask you that?
Yeah, you did. I just was, need to check. It's June 7th.
June 7th, yeah.
What was graduation?
May 31st.
May 31st.
What time's the meeting up ceremony?
It's like at 9.
9.
9.
9 a.m. So just email me and let me know so I can disseminate that information.
And what time you want to start for graduation? 5:30 or something?
Yeah.
5:15.
5:15, 5:30.
5:30 is good.
Do we, like, for graduation rehearsal, do I need to be there?
If you would like to be, I mean, it's going to be the same as, similar to the way it's been in past years. So graduation rehearsal is on Wednesday the 29th at 10 o'clock and Thursday the 30th also at 10 o'clock.
So did you go rehearsal
after
last year?
Breakfast.
Okay, yeah. So when I get there, you'll just tell me what to do?
Yes.
That's what they do. Okay.
And do we want to discuss the, remember the added agenda item? I forgot the survey.
Surveys?
So I'll just do that now.
Yeah.
So in your packet, so I, if you remember, we will be sending out surveys for parents to fill out and surveys for students to fill out. So in your packet, somewhere there should be a copy of what those surveys look like and if there's anything that you have questions on or things should be added, feel free to let me know. But that's what I'm planning to send out, and I'd like to send them out tomorrow or Friday, the latest. There also will be a staff survey, but I feel that the evaluation committee needs to decide what information they want to gather from the staff, as that's reflected in my evaluation. So what information they want to know is get that out before they leave.
Denise?
No.
I think they have graduation.
In the student survey, if we can put a line for the food, lunch, something that...
I don't think we need to do that, Uday, only because we've already surveyed the students several times.
Yeah, we did that survey about food. Okay. I would say that we have, could use that as a, the initial stuff, because we have that huge survey with all that data.
Right. What we were talking about, the physical change, whatever, it just to create a stir, a positive, like if there is a change, would you be interested in kind of?
I think we already asked that question.
Okay.
And I think if we could probably add it to next year's and then use the information we got from the survey we did use earlier as the baseline.
Eric, is this just like a, is it going to go out in like Survey Monkey?
Survey Monkey, so it'll get sent out. So the high school students will send it out via Schoology for them to do with a link, and they just follow the link, and it's Survey Monkey.
Okay.
And then for parents, we'll send out an email to them. Like Gina will send out an email that goes out to our parent base. And then middle school, usually what they've done is they have the students doing them either in class on iPads or
go to a computer lab. I can't remember how we did the lunch surveys, but don't do it that way.
So my only comment was on number five. This will explode out in SurveyMonkey. I assume this is just like a, right?
On the
parent? Yeah. So for that one, I just it'll look different. So what it'll have is it'll be like emotional, so it'll have each of them, and it'll be out that way. I just kind of saved time there. But yeah, each of them will have the options under each of them.
Number four seems to be worded incorrectly. It says teacher created high quality instructional supportive environment for teachers this year. And on four for the kids, it says supportive environment for class. So are you looking for a supportive environment for students or a supportive environment amongst teachers? That was the parent survey.
It should say for students this year, right. Not for teachers.
Teachers.
Yeah, it should say teachers.
It should be teachers created
plural, and then
a high quality instructional supportive environment for students this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably change it to my student.
We have a counseling department.
Yeah, Debbie.
It's
academic counseling, really. Do you want to put academic counseling? Yeah, we actually want to put it all because I really want this as a baseline.
Because it says emotional, so
right.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. So
because
then maybe they would
be strongly disagree. That probably is not going to be a high mark, but
I need
a foundation.
I want
a baseline so that next year when we put different improvements in, that we can compare it to how people felt before those improvements were made. So that's really to get a baseline.
Okay.
I already know that some of those are going to be disagreeable.
And does the charter school Wilmington have a staff survey that we can use as a starting point?
I could ask the board to send what they have. These are basically what we did because I helped generate those surveys for parents and students, and these were those surveys for parents and students at charter school.
Because we would give us a start.
I can see that they can. I'll see what I can get.
Okay.
So for the parent, if you have more than one kid, you would mark
so that'll
sixth grade and eighth grade. But what if one of the questions differed in your response for one kid versus the other? How would that be?
I think you can just reflect it maybe in the comments. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. One other thing I just wanted to add. Board summer, our board workshop, I'm looking at July 17th. It's actually the same exact day that we've done it the last 2 years. So again, could everyone look at their calendars and see if, not right this second, but just let me know how July 17th works for them. Location to be determined. We're probably going to spend that workshop talking deep dive into finances and budgeting and like looking at everything deeply to decide and kind of understand better about what our, you know, shortfalls are with money. Because I think Eric and I had a conversation today. I don't want to get into the details, but it kind of created a reality that we haven't always had, and I'm not like, we haven't always had the information presented in a way that truly allows us to make choices about things. I know I'm being kind of, and I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not saying it's anyone's fault. I'm just saying like, I feel like moving forward, we need to have a better understanding of like, how much is the IB program really costing? And by paying this much for IB, that then is limiting us for having this amount of money to pay for other, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I just feel like there are several topics like that, as far as budgeting goes, that we as a board need to understand deeper in order to be able to make decisions on those things. So I was thinking that the workshop would be a good time for us to really dive into that, so. Okay, anything else?
No.
Any other, anyone have questions for Eric? Okie dokie, moving on. financials.
Everybody have this one?
Welcome back, sir. I feel like you've been on a hiatus.
Yes, I have.
I've missed you.
I'm re-engaging.
Green.
If you see the green report, green is for money and is for good. It better be good, right? We just flipped to a different budget in the last session. It's probably even a little bit better than what the budget dictates right now. So for the month of April, we did very well. Our revenues came in at about 56,000, which brings us to 99.2. Alan and I are doing some back of the envelopes on the remaining 2 months, and it looks like we're probably going to get another 100,000 in on the balance of the year over the next 2 months, which would actually act to eliminate the need to hit reserves at all within this year, which is great. From an expense perspective, you can see that, from a time pace perspective, we should be at 83.3% spent. We're favorable to that. We're at 82.45%. Which would also suggest that there's opportunity in our expense line. I think Alan, as he always does a nice job finishing up the year, is going to balance between trying to carry over some favorability, some minimal favorability into the reserves, and to deal with as much as he can in terms of pulling some expenses in from next year into this year to the extent that he can afford doing that. If you look at the percents, the roughly 3% differential between the time pace spend and where we are today, that would suggest about $250,000 of upside. I don't think that. I think some of it's timing related, but it would suggest that we're going to be favorable from an expense perspective. I think the only thing that Alan has expressed concern over is some of the known open items around the pool and what they're going to cost to resolve.
I think that we need to have further conversation about prepaying things for next year. I think in conversations with Eric, I think he comes from a place where prepaying was not the way to go. And so I think he has some really valid concerns about the whole, idea of prepaying. Am I speaking out of turn? I know you and I.
Prepaying
expenses for next year, this year.
No, that wasn't.
Oh. No. I thought
what do you mean, like prepaying?
Like paying things ahead of time for next fiscal year.
Yeah, so like for...
Well, for whatever. Like what if we typically prepaid
last year,
in the past?
Last year we prepaid towards the mortgage, towards the lease. And we also made the final bus payment early.
I mean, some things you prepay, like if it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm where you are,
I thought you were talking because there are some things like if you're prepaying for like professional development, you're going to be like the mortgage thing. I thought that.
Okay.
But I'm where you are with if there's a tendency if you ask people whatever they want to buy and you might not be buying what you necessarily need for the next year, and it's done in haste, I think that could present a problem, and that's not been the experience so far. It's been things that are fixed and determinable things that we have to deal with in the future that we pull forward.
The two things I'm looking at to prepay right now are Frontline, which is the computerized system for substitutes, and Edmentum, which is online courses.
Well, we'll have to pay those anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that's really good news, and I think Alan's done a really good job of, helping us, cover some of the issues that we experienced early in the year from a compensation perspective. So we're going to be wheeling into the end of the year without having to tap into reserves, given all the noise around that.
That's great.
Early on in the year, which I think is great.
Yeah, that's exciting.
He also presented some charts, which I think he'll share with you at a different time. Remember the pie charts? Some of you weren't around for this, but
we looked at them last month.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. Well, those pie charts are really, from my perspective, telling because we're right in, I think, benchmark, what we thought was benchmark from a compensation perspective. So, roughly 75% of what we compared ourselves to about a year ago, I think it was compensation, or a year and a half ago, maybe it was. And we were nowhere near that at the time. So I think through adjusting our compensation and bringing additional teachers in, we're now right around that sweet spot of 75% of our spend being spent on teachers. Just one soundbite, right, around, you know, how our expenses are composed, just in general. So I think we should feel better about that's emulating other schools and what they spend in the area of compensation.
I think also things that have to be up on the table for discussion is what we pay for students to take IB exams and the cost that we have to do for that. If you're going to take it, the cost needs to go on the student taking it. Because I'm not going to get into it, but the money that we budget for IB is coming out of the same bucket that we would give to teachers for textbooks or for. So if we have a budget, and I'm just going to throw a number out there, $200,000, which is $200,000 is a normal number that schools get for instructional supplies when everything else is accounted for. But if half of that is going towards paying for expenses for a program, you're now looking at only using half of what we would to get textbooks, to get other things that go into the classroom. So that's something that we really need to take a look at, especially as we bring programs and grow programs. And then also looking at a lot of our smart boards are old, and the life of a smart board is usually 5. You may get 7 years out of it. And looking at replacing them and doing that on a rotating basis. So technology, when you buy it, it's not permanent, and there has to be a plan for upkeeping it as you move forward. And then also revisiting the conversation about charging for students, or not students, but just charging for at certain athletic events. That's a way to generate revenue that we've not generated in the past. So something we might want to come up with a policy for that.
Joe was really opposed to that before.
Yeah,
kiboshed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But well, Trish too. Trish wasn't in favor of it either.
And I'm fine with not charging students, but if not, we have to find some other creative ways to make money.
Understood. I just don't want to write a policy and then
foundation and then kibosh it. Our students, our families, they're paying when they go to other places. And we have some of the most beautiful facilities in the state. And you know, that costs money.
Joe, I disagreed with you then. His reason was our teams weren't winning, which is not why parents pay to go to those events.
No.
And I think maybe it's probably a different conversation now that we have competitive programs.
Yeah,
our programs are only going to
the Redskins don't win either, and people pay to see that.
So I do think it's something that we definitely it would definitely help.
In public schools, does the cost of AP exams fall on the student?
Totally.
Yeah. On regular public schools,
mm-hmm.
does it?
Mm-hmm.
And is there some kind of
a lot
pool
of times,
of money for low-income students to take them?
Yeah,
free and reduced lunch kids would get a discount, just mandatory across the board. Even if we decided to put the expense completely on our students for the IB exams, which we're talking about the cost to us is about $30,000.
Well, how much is it per test, do you know?
It's
a few hundred dollars.
I mean, most parents would pay it.
And the kids who would qualify for free and reduced lunch would get a benefit. You know, we would have to cover that anyway.
And what about how's IB compared to AP costs for exams?
Twice as much for IB. About. The only thing that makes me feel good about the IB is that you're not paying College Board, although I guess you're paying someone else. You're paying
the man.
I hate to give College Board any more money than I have to.
College Board's great.
So anyway, I think that these are some of the issues I was alluding to when we go into this deep dive over the summer.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody, I think your timing is right on. Maybe Eric conveyed some of the concerns that the CBOC expressed when yesterday we took a sneak peek at 2020, and I don't think it gets prettier. You know, we've got a large step up in debt from year to year. It's about 180,000, something like that. And, you know, I think it's time that we kind of revisit and understand and be choiceful and understand what we're doing, just like you said, relative to the financials. And I think we also need to look for other opportunities to grow the top line, if you will.
And we also need to, I think, revisit our annual fund. I mean, in the past, it's been reserved solely for technology, and I think that there's a lot of things that people are going to be told no for this year in the budget. And it's only because we only have a finite amount of money. However, we can then take those items that we had to say no to, and maybe this is put something together, this is what we need more money for, this is what we send it out to the community and have a big kickoff and a certain time for them to raise, and then raise money. But I think you're going to raise more money if you can tell people what you're raising it for and how it's going to directly impact their student. And
in the past, before this year, we did that for the annual appeal. The fire came home about the LED lights, uh-huh. And there were mailings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some more of that.
So I'd like to take a look at UC, partnering with UC, mm-hmm. to do the annual fund next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can raise money effortlessly. You give them a portion, but the portion we would give them would probably be a quarter of what we've raised now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and we'd probably get four times more money.
Who's that with?
UC.
I'm not familiar. Hey, Jen, should the late arrivals announce themselves?
Yes, thank you, Alan. Sorry. Late arrivals, announce yourself.
Lauren Wisely, board member.
Chris Moody, board member.
Okay. Okay. Steve, anything else? Alan?
I just would say I know the pool is still working to raise more money or look for avenues to raise more money, and they've got a couple of things that they've got out there. Tomorrow they're going to interview with DCF. Their grant proposal got to the interview level, so they're going for that tomorrow. And that's for a water safety program for less advantaged children. They're going to be on three radio stations on Friday that we got spots when we did the job fair, in-kind spots, to increase membership and lessons. And they're also going to be managing Sports at the Beach pool and Mulligan Point pool this summer. Managing in that they're going to train the lifeguards, they're going to schedule the lifeguards, but those two organizations are still going to pay the lifeguards. They're just going to pay us to manage it.
I didn't even know Sports at the Beach had a pool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. That's
Oh.
Their work, though.
What's it used for?
It's recreation, I think, but it's always more busy when they have a baseball tournament.
It's in the indoor or outdoor?
Yeah. Outdoor.
It's outdoor.
Who knew?
And they're hoping that their work at Mulligan Point will bring more members in. When that pool closes, it'll bring more members over here. There's also an opportunity perhaps to offer some programs there, like lessons and things like that, if we have enough staffing.
Yeah, that would be good for them.
So it's going to bring about $3,500 of income in to manage those two pools for the summer.
Nice. Okay. All right. Anything else up at CDOC?
You've got our minutes.
I have a new member for you guys.
Oh.
Todd Hickman. He has one child. He's going to have another child. He'll have two kids here next year. He is a senior vice president at MB Homes, and he's really squared away. So he wanted to come. He asked if we had any board seats, and I said we don't probably have any for this coming year, but I would love to see you on CBOC. So, Steve, I actually told him that I would give you his information and have you reach out to him.
That's great.
Okay, so any questions for Steve or Alan? Okay, Steve, can you present the motion?
Motion to approve the April financials.
May I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Who's the second, Steve? I mean, Chris?
Yes, Chris.
Okay. Any conversation? Further discussion? All right then. All in favor of approving the April financials?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All righty. Foundation, we have nothing. I've got nothing. Committee reports, anything that is not included in a written submitted report that we need to discuss?
Yeah, the
policies.
Policies.
That's going to be down in old business.
Okay.
Lance, I feel like you have stuff to tell us, no?
Sure.
I mean, that, I know you gave a report, but.
A couple things. I mean, I can switch it real quick. The solar project is happening this summer. We had middle school repairs done over spring break, and those have been completed, and we are working currently now on some HVAC recommissioning. I call it recommissioning, but it's just essentially going through everything, make sure all the set points are properly done now, that they're not being compromised by the deficiencies in the building envelope. So we're currently doing that, and we're in contact with the engineering company.
Yeah, we sent the screenshots today.
Yeah, so probably in a week or so, we should have that cleared up and be back to operational. The pool rubber surface, you know, we took a look at that. There's multiple spots where it's crumbling, and I've investigated different scenarios on how that happened and what could have degraded that. Still working with that, and I need to reach out to the Cannon and Spas who actually put a bid in. I just want to understand what they're going to actually do and if it's actually going to be a long-term solution or a short-term solution, and then we need to make a decision after I gather that information on what we're going to do. It's either going to be resurface it in terms of getting more life out of it, or it's going to be scrape it up and maybe not replace it, maybe just put down some epoxy paint or something, or but what we need to see what that trade-off is.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody seen the Eagle Scout project out back behind the
great.
The cafeteria? It's pretty looks great. That place was like a
swamp. It was crazy. Yeah.
So I think there's an Eagle Scout project going on there, and I've been contacted by another Eagle Scout that is interested in doing a project.
Like resurfacing the pool deck?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I'm just saying, wouldn't that be a win-win for everyone?
That would.
So one of the concepts.
He's a swimmer.
Oh, was it Trey?
Yeah.
Oh.
One of the concepts was like a greenhouse or garden planters, if they would be an interest to the school. I know talking about doing a couple of new programs. I don't know if there would be opportunities for a club to start for gardening or organic,
mm-hmm.
this or that.
Yeah, I love it.
So that was an idea that was, and I just wanted to sort of throw that out there to see if anybody else had any ideas, because I want to get back with Big Trey on.
Would it be in the same space where Jake did his project behind the library? Are we talking about further enhancing that, or this is in a different?
Yeah, so that project is, he's
done.
He's going to have planters and stuff in there.
Gotcha.
The thought was this would be sort of out by like the maintenance building in
mm-hmm.
that space. It's not, I wouldn't think it'd be a huge thing, but if you had a greenhouse, you could grow mums and sell them, and I mean, there's a lot of opportunities that it could present, and it could be a cool project to do too. I don't know if anybody else had any other thoughts or ideas.
The only thing I thought about when I saw your note there was when we install the solar panels, is there an opportunity for us to put some sort of learning pavilion station, something associated with that, so that even visitors could understand, you know, what the output is, what it contributes, what it, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines too. The company that actually is doing this is providing us with like a, they call it an educational kit, and it's going to be like a monitor that's going to be in the lobby. It's going to have all the production,
cool.
and
yeah.
I think there's some
cool.
educational things that
yeah.
they give to the school that they can use in STEM
mm-hmm.
classes and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it could be something to that point out there as well.
I love the idea of something garden, something planted, something done. I love the idea that it could be a perpetual thing, you know, but I feel like we need some faculty member who would be willing to kind of take that on as, whether it's a project or something. I mean,
a club
I
or something, yeah, sponsor a club.
Yeah, I love the idea of it. I think it's really cool. What does Trey want to do?
Well, I'm not clear what Jake built. Does he have raised beds back there?
He's got three planter boxes that he's putting in.
Are they like planter boxes, or are they like
They're about that deep, about this high, and that long, and
so
then there's two that
like
are corner.
They're not like a garden. Yeah, they're
not
like
garden.
Decorative.
Yeah, it's
probably.
More, yeah, it's for plantings, but not necessarily a garden.
Okay, because there was a conversation at some point about doing an environmental program and growing vegetables mm-hmm. here to supplement the cafeteria and or provide to Georgetown or something. I didn't know if that was moving forward or not. It was sort of in one conversation tied into a special interest for the school, or I'm not sure where we are on all that. Or if we're not.
Okay. Didn't we talk about that at the holiday party?
I was going to say, I think it was at the holiday party.
I think that's the last time we talked about it.
Okay.
Holiday party. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a super cool idea. But again, I feel like we need champions. You know, we need people to champion this project.
So is there any... So.
One of my naturopathic doctor, her name is Kim Furtado. She started a garden program at Southern Delaware School for the Arts. Her kids were students there, and this was years ago. And it's a program. Like, they got, you know, grant money for it. The kids work on it with her. It's like a super cool organic garden.
I think it's a great idea, but you do need someone to actually be the leader of that.
I think it's really unique, and it kind of... It could be very cool, but again, it kind of needs someone to own it.
Is that something you throw out to the staff to see if anybody?
Okay,
like,
well,
wow, I'm a garden person. That'd be great. I love it.
Here's my thought. These Eagle Scouts are offering free labor and materials. Is there anything we need?
Yeah,
that's mine. Because he's not going to be the last, you know. But maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's more trouble than it's worth.
No, it's so worth it. I'm answering for everyone. Free labor and free materials for something that we need is worth it. I mean, hello. We just have to figure out what we need.
Could they potentially build the wall that you need?
The what?
The wall for the...
Which is a big block.
Yeah.
Oh, for lacrosse?
Yeah.
Throwback? Yes. Or could they do something that would help offset the expense of the new... room, you know, painting or, you know, we just need to put put some heads together. I don't know whose heads, that's the thing. I don't know, you know, how, who gets.
You know what, I have a great idea. So I want to create a space that's like a mindful space for teachers and staff, and perhaps that's something.
Over in the shed.
Oh,
Eric has an idea for creating some space in the shed that could be utilized for meetings, like a meeting room and, you know, a mindfulness area with, you know, glowing
so
things.
Teachers
and
just need to, like, stay away from
good
the
smelling
building,
things.
Just kind of go.
That sort of thing. Yes, lava
lamps. Tanning bed.
Right. Yeah. Beanbag chairs.
I have a masseuse in there.
Uh-huh.
Heated curtains.
When I was in grade school, there was a smoking lounge.
Okay.
We had a senior room where we would
and
smoke out the window.
Is that space going to require walls built or removed, or is it more like painting and moving
like
stuff out
and
and putting furniture in
yeah.
and that kind of stuff? Okay,
it's a cool idea.
It might be a company. If you have to start building walls and stuff, it sounds like it might not be.
No, there's not going to be any construction.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right.
Okay.
I'll talk to him. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else under committee reports? Okay, no. All right. Old business. updated bylaws and board policies. Again, I want to thank Susie. She's like the policy queen. She's been working really hard on these policies.
So I emailed everybody's thing. I brought them if you didn't have a chance to read them or need another copy. And I sent out an email with the voting points or the points for discussion. The first one was, well, does anybody need a copy of these?
Yeah.
This is the same, everybody. Is this the same one you gave last time?
Totally diming yourselves out.
Look at that. Uday has his wit.
I have mine. I have